together like this, in this beautiful country of ours, in such freedom. And Lord, even as your word goes out this morning, that it is sharper than any two-edged sword, that your word does not return void, but that it accomplishes all that you have for it to accomplish this morning. And Lord, in all that's said and all that is done, may the name of Jesus be highly exalted in this place, where we give you alone, Lord, all the praise and the honor and the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Is it definitely on? Okay, I'm in a little hooky here. So folks, today we're going to continue with our detailed look at the book of James. And this is number?
10.
Is it 10? Okay, this is part 10 in our series. And I want to ask you, have you enjoyed some of the challenges that we've been exposed to over the last 9 weeks or so? Huh? Because we need to hear these challenges, and not just hear them, we need to hear them and make necessary adjustments in our own lives. Yes, there we are. Count it all a joy, my brothers and sisters. Okay? So he's always going to give us something to challenge us as believers in Jesus. And I was saying to somebody here this morning, you know, I suppose if you have look at this letter today, as we look at it, it is as if James is one of those that shoots from the hip. Is that right? He really does. He shoots from the hip. And the other thing, not only does he shoot from the hip, he is not trying to be a people pleaser. I don't know if you've noticed. Okay? He's definitely not a people pleaser. And really, I must say that I've actually enjoyed, you know, kind of putting these messages together and preparing them and processing them and so on, because I've learned so much. So the title of today's message is, Are You Ready for What's Coming? Are you ready for what's coming? So we're going to look at James chapter 4 and then just focus on verses 13 through to verses 17. Verse 13, let me start. He says, Come now, you who say, now this is interesting. He's talking to a group of people that he is not very happy with. You say, today, tomorrow, we're going to such and such a town, and we're going to spend a year there and trade and make a profit. He says, yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. Then he asks a question. He says, what is life? For you, talking to these people, are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. Instead, he says, instead you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will do this and we will do that. Huh? As it is, you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. So whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, you know what the right thing is to do and you fail to do it, he says, for him, for that person, it's sin. So folks, it's interesting. You know, mankind has always had a deep desire to know the future. Isn't that right? We want to know what's going to happen in the future. We don't always get it right, but we want to know. And people, folks, there are people out there that spend huge amounts of money going to fortune tellers, going to psychics, right? Because they want to know what's going to happen in the future. I need to say, if that is you, if you've been to fortune tellers or you've been to psychics, you need to repent of that, right? Maybe that is the thing that is slowing you down. Folks, we see time and time again in the Word of God that this is something that as believers in Jesus, we shouldn't do. And if we have done it, even if we were, before we were born again, I would suggest just take it to the Lord and repent of that thing, right? Because He is not happy with that at all. So most people, and this includes Christians as well, want to know what the future holds. You want to know what the future holds? We'd like to know, isn't that true? And it's quite interesting because there was a survey that was done, and again, this is in the United States of America, where they had people that were in the prophetic ministry. And these people would go from church to church, you know, just kind of with the prophetic and prophesy over people and so on. And so they would continue doing this. But what they did find is that when these so-called prophets came into town and they said that, well, tomorrow, we'll be here tomorrow, but they said, but tomorrow we're not going to be prophesying, we're going to be speaking about something else. What they found is that the attendance of those meetings would now drop, and they would drop considerably. Why? Because people just wanted to go and hear, yeah, about, you know, the future, pretty much so. And folks, it's very interesting, you know, when the second coming of Jesus is mentioned in the New Testament, and it is mentioned in the New Testament quite often, in just about all cases where the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ is mentioned in the New Testament, it's followed by an exhortation to godliness and holy living. Isn't that interesting? And what's so interesting here, because this is exactly what James is speaking about in this letter, because what he's basically saying to us is that knowing the future is not as important as being prepared for the future. I'll say that again. Knowing the future is not as important as being prepared for the future. Folks, we need to be ready and prepared for the future. We need to be ready and prepared for the soon return of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Now, you know, most of us here, sitting here today, I'm sure, know some person, you know somebody who says that they are an atheist. Do you? Okay? People say that they are an atheist. Now, this is the most interesting thing, because when you think about it, it's very weird that someone would now go and make a stand about someone or something that they say doesn't exist. And they go and they make a stand about that. And it's all about them being an atheist, you know, really making a stand in something about something they don't believe exists. Isn't it weird? Think about it. I'm going to stand for this thing I don't believe in. Atheism is basically the denial of the existence of God. And, you know, scripture speaks about these people. It says in Psalm 14 verse 1, it says, the fool says in his heart, there is no God. And then it goes on to say, they are corrupt. This is a fool that doesn't believe in God. They are corrupt. They do abominable deeds. There is none who does good. Wow. I'm just telling you what the word says over there. And folks, one of the greatest sins today is leaving God out of our lives. That is one of the greatest sins. Not only leaving God out of our lives, look what happened when we made a decision as a nation to leave God out of our schools. That was the starting point. Really was the starting point. People making plans and implementing those plans without involving God, without consulting God, okay? And the test, really, of what one believes is not found in what one says, because a lot of people say it. They talk a lot. So the test, you know, in terms of what one believes, is found in what a person does and how a person conducts themselves and how a person lives, not in what they say. Rather look and see how they're living. That is, you know, that's important. And folks, the thing is that many, many people today, many really profess to believe in God, but they live their lives as if they don't believe in God. Just the way they conduct themselves. But yeah, no, I believe in God, but look, I see how you live in your life. As if you don't believe in God. Christians live their lives, Christians, as if God doesn't matter. And this is part of the theme of this book, or this letter that James wrote. And in this portion of scripture that we've just read, we see, it's quite interesting, we see both the right and the wrong ways of actually addressing or dealing with the future. So I want to start off by first speaking a little bit about what he says is the wrong way in dealing with the future. We need to know what the wrong way is, and then we'll look at the right way as well. The first thing is, we plan without God. We plan without God. He says in verse 13, he says, come now, you who say, today or tomorrow, we will go to such and such a town, and we will spend a year, and we will trade, and we will make a profit. Okay? And when you read this, folks, this is really not an open defiance of God. Is that right? It's really not an open defiance of God. But really, it's an utter, how can I say, it's a disregard of God, the way they were talking. And this is an attitude of arrogant self-sufficiency. And unfortunately, this is found in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ as well. This attitude of self-sufficiency, you know. Remember I said, we spoke about the Frank Sinatra doctrine last week. I won't give it to you again. I won't hurt your ears with my voice. But one can acknowledge God's existence with their mouths, like many, many people do, and yet the way they live their lives, the way they conduct themselves, right, excludes God. And yet people say that they are believers. They believe in Jesus. And James, actually, he rebukes this self-sufficiency. He says in verse 13, he says, come now, you who say, today or tomorrow, we will go to such and such a town. Now, James, what's very interesting here, because this is written in the present tense. You know, he changes and it's now written in the present tense. And because it's written in the present tense, it actually reveals a habit that needs to be adjusted and a habit that needs to be corrected. So they act, these people, as if they have total control over their plans, over their future, without involving God. This is what he's saying. This is what these people do. Because the story that I've just read to us, they decide on the precise time. They say today and tomorrow. Then they decide on the specific place. We'll go to such and such a town. Then they also decide on how long they're going to go there for, the duration of how long. They said, we're going to go to such and such a town, and we're going to spend a year there. Then they've even decided on the planned activity that's going to take place. We're going to go to that such and such a town. We're going to be there for a year. And what we're going to do, we're going to buy and sell. And they've even decided on the outcome. And the outcome, like we read, and we will make a profit. That's what they're saying. In all of this, the will of God, not even considered. Not at all. And I'm sure that, you know, as James was talking about these people, I'm sure that these people, you know, a lot of them would have been maybe really good men. Maybe they would have been not only good men, they would have been religious men. They might have been men that are respected, maybe respected in their communities. But in their daily lives, they live and they speak as if God has no place in their plans. That's what the way they come over. They live independently. They live independently of God in spite of what they say they believe. They're still living independently of God. And, okay, folks, I'm saying, again, these people, and we see them in the church today, sitting around the churches all around the world today, sitting in churches, okay? People that are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, yet they are planning their lives without involving God at all. Remember I said last week, our job is to take our hand off the steering wheel of our own lives and allow God the Holy Spirit to guide us and to direct us. So that's the first one. The next wrong way that we see here is that we deal with the future is that we presume that we know the future. We presume we know it. Verse 14, yet you do not know, he says, what tomorrow will bring. He says, what is life? You are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. And the word, the key word here in verse 14 is know. And that word know is not just a kind of know, right? If you look at the Greek there, it means knowing for sure, like you're 100% sure, knowing for sure that you are Not only that you know for sure, that you are absolutely certain. That's what that word actually means. So there's a failure here to actually comprehend the purpose of life. He asks that question in verse 14. He says, what is life? What is life? Okay, and then he answers the question, but not in this in these verses. He answers it in his letter. And basically what he says, you know, when he asks the question, what is life? He answers it by saying, life is a gift. Life is a gift, and it is a gift from God, and it is an opportunity, and it's an opportunity from God as well. And folks, the way we look at life, the way we actually approach life, makes all the difference in the world. Now, how many of you know somebody who's got an attitude problem? Huh? An attitude problem. Okay? We all know, I'm sure some... sorry. We all know somebody that has an attitude problem. But you may be able to look at that person and you can see the attitude problem and you can see how that attitude slows them down. Huh? You can see it. They can't see it. They have failed to realize that this life that we have is actually a gift from God. And the result is, because of that, that there's absolutely no accountability to God at all. No accountability to God. Okay, they would change this. I'm sure they would change this if they had a true encounter with the living God. And that's what we all need. There are too many people sitting in churches all around the world today. They're only at church. You know why they go to church? Because their parents went to church. And their granny went to church. People sitting in churches that have never ever had an encounter with the living God. And these are the people, as I say, sitting in churches where they say they're believers, but they don't conduct themselves in a way that God would want them to conduct themselves. Isn't that true? Right? But they would change if they had a true encounter with the living God that wants to have a relationship with them. And so, folks, people fail to comprehend the complexity of life. Life is complex. Is that true? It's very complex. You know, it's quite interesting. We see how Solomon, now Solomon, we know that he was, you know, kind of the wisest man on the planet. And he warns us about something that is very important. He warns us about the sin of presumption. Sin of presumption. Okay? And the dictionary, you go and look at that word in the dictionary, it actually talks about arrogant behavior. That's what presumption is. Arrogant behavior. In Proverbs 27:1, it says, do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring. Don't boast about tomorrow. And maybe a biblical example of this type of thinking is found in the story, which I want to read to us, or it's a parable of the rich fool. How many of you know the parable of the rich fool? Okay, well, if you don't, you're going to hear it now. Luke 12:16. This is a parable of the rich fool. Now, remember, this is somebody that God has blessed with, you know, abundance. He's got a farm and he's farming and the crops are growing and man, this is just unbelievable. But watch this, let me read the story. And he told them the parable saying, the land of a rich man produced plentifully, right? There was a lot that was produced. And he thought to himself, now this is this dude thinking to himself, what shall I do? For I have nowhere to store my crops. Why? Because he's just been so blessed with all these crops. Then he goes on, he says, and he said, I will do this. I, have we noticed something here? Huh? I will tear down my barns and build larger ones. And then I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have ample goods, laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, and be merry. Be merry, soul. But God said to him, this is what God says to him, fool, this night your soul is required of you, and the things you have prepared, whose will they be? Now watch the next line in verse 21. It says, so is the one who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God. How many people in the church are like that? Laying up treasure for themselves and not rich towards God. Folks, we need to be rich towards God. We need to make an impact on eternity. So this guy says to himself, you know, I'm going to pull down my barns. Man, and I'm going to build greater barns. And the Lord says, fool, this night, your soul is required of you. Folks, God called him a fool. Now, God called him a fool not because he was planning his future. It's good. We need to plan our future, right? God called him a fool because he thought that he was in control of his future. That's why God called him a fool, right? Folks, we must not fail to include God in the things that we do. And I'm talking about the important things. You don't have to stand up, oh Lord, God, I'm going to work today. What shirt should I wear? What color tie should I wear? These are not life-changing things, folks. You can make those decisions yourself. But when you are making decisions that can impact your life and the lives of other people, you better make sure, I better make sure, we better make sure that we involve God in these decisions. So these merchants, as discussed here in James, not only assumed that they knew what would happen in the future, but they also assumed that they would be alive tomorrow. Imagine that. They assumed that, right? They failed to comprehend the certainty of life. They were too busy focusing on me, my I, about themselves, okay? And now, folks, I want to say this because we see in Psalm 90, verse 10, it talks about 70 and 10. Is that right? That we, you know, score is 20 years, 20, 40, 60. So it talks about, you know, people living for 70 years. And James reminds us that our life is just a vapor. And the word vapor here is used to describe a puff of smoke. That's our life in terms of eternity. And in fact, other places in the Bible, it talks about our lives being a cloud. We see that in Job. It talks about our lives being, you know, so quick, like the grass, you know, out in the fields. We see that in Psalm 103, verse 15. It talks about our lives just being a shadow. It talks about our lives being just like smoke in Psalm 102, verse 3, you know, how that smoke dissipates. Okay? But the thing is here that our lives are short. Life's short. And you and I, living this life and living this life for the Lord, we can't afford to waste time. We really can't. So let us be a people, and this is a decision we have to make. Let us be a people who truly invest our lives into something eternal. And I'm saying to us today, you know, have you invested your life into something eternal? We need to, folks. We need to be living with eternity in our hearts and how can I say, allowing our lives to impact on the lives of other people. Living our lives, investing in our lives in something eternal. And really, let us not delay in making that decision. And if you haven't made that decision, maybe it's time to make, you know, that decision. He says in verse 17 of chapter 4, so whoever knows the right thing to do but fails to do it, for him, that person, it's sin. Is that right? So here again, we see this verse 17 is talking about this sin of omission. So what we can learn from this is that sin is not only us going out there and doing something wrong. Sin is also us not doing something that we should be doing that is right. So what he's saying to us. An example, I spoke about it early on. Forgiving people. We need to be those that forgive people so that we can set ourselves free. That we can walk in the freedom that the Lord Jesus has actually purchased for us. And if we choose not to forgive someone, basically, okay, we're refusing to do that. And this is us not doing what the Lord's told us to do. There's a mission here. It goes back to this verse 17. Whoever knows the right thing to do, but fails to do it, for him it is sin. Proverbs 3:27. Do not withhold good from those to whom it is due when it's in your power to do it. It's in our power to do good. If it's in our power, let's do good. Let's just do it. So we should know what the right thing to do is. And once we know what it is, let's just go out and do it. Don't hold back. So what I've shown us now are, you know, some of the, what James says, the wrong ways of dealing with the future. What I want to do now is just briefly speak about the right way of dealing with the future. So we first need to acknowledge God's will for our lives. Is that right, folks? God has a plan for you. And we need to acknowledge that he has a plan and a purpose for our lives. It says in James 4 verse 15, you know, these people that were going out there, we will go to such and such a place. We will go there for a, you know, set amount of time. We'll go there for a year and we will go there and we will trade and we'll go there and we'll make a profit. What he's saying to them in verse 15, instead you ought to say, if the Lord wills, it's involving God, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this and we'll do that. As it is, you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting, he says, is evil. And so James is actually reminding us that our dependence should be on the Lord rather than on our plans. The plans that we come up with. And folks, so often as believers, so often as Christians, not only do we leave God out of our plans, we actually go out and we actually boast about what we're doing. Isn't that true? This is what I'm doing. I'm doing this, I'm doing that. I'm just saying, if that's you, and I've caught myself in the past, right, we need to be mindful of this and make the necessary adjustments. So again, we see James challenging us on how we should be living our lives. And it's now's the time for us to make decisions. Let's not make decisions next week or next month or so on. We need to decide now on how you and I will deal with the future. And it needs to be in a way that is truly, truly pleasing to the Lord. Isn't that right? And all that it takes, really all that it takes, is to involve him in those decisions that we make. And again, not every decision, but the life-changing decisions. The ones that can affect our lives. So let's get God's perspective on things. Let's also not only his perspective, let's find out what his will is for our lives. Let's not plan like these guys that we've just read about, plan our lives without God's input. Let's involve him. Let's not plan like these guys as well, where they presume to know the future. There was a presumption there, and we're going to do all of these things, and we'll make a profit, rah, 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 rah. Also, let's not delay to do what we need to do today. Let's do it today. This is his encouragement to us. Let's deal with the future in a way that we should. Do those things regarding the future that he says we must do, and not do those things that we should not be doing. So folks, we either choose to live our lives our way, huh? Or we choose to live our lives in a way that is really pleasing to him and allow him in to show us and to guide us and show us the way forward. Because God desires that we be those who are dependent on him. And we need to ask ourselves a question. Am I dependent on him? Am I really dependent on God? But ultimately, the choice is ours. Amen.